With all the Olympic hotties showcasing their talents right now, the world seems to be more turned on by their sexy, athletic bodies than their almost supernatural athletic abilities.
Perfect time for a little Olympic erotic fan fiction. Today, the hilarious Devin Green, who has quite a filthy potty mouth, graces us with an original slash fiction story of ice skating champion Johnny Weir in a crazy tea room extravaganza.
Listen as Devin Green plays her new ukulele song and fills in the blanks in our sexy Mad Libs game.
Plus, what if all Olympic sports were photographed like women's volleyball?
Gold medal winning cutie Matthew Mitchum plays the Family Guy theme shirtless on YouTube.
An Olympic rower denies having a boner during his medal ceremony.
Scary phallic fish and eels from the Amazon.
And an in-depth discussion on happiness.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Well, hello, this is Devin.
Hi, Devin, this is Fausto.
Is it really you, Devin, or is it a voice machine? Because you always leave the most unusual messages and you trick us.
Well, I usually like to say, why don't you do what you do best? And then I hang up. That's something I do. How are you, gentlemen?
Hey, girl. We're doing great. The sun is shining. This is the best time of the year to live in Chicago when the weather is perfection. In other words, it resembles the weather in Los Angeles.
You know what the weather is like here?
No.
It's good for penis talk. I hope you're up for it.
We're like cock-hungry whores today.
Cock-hungry whores?
Mm-mm.
Triple H.
Hey, I heard that you and Selena Luna are doing a show together.
Well, she goes on at 8 o'clock, but I am at the ACK Bar at 6:30 to 7:45, and it's like a perfect date night. Get a little dab of Devin and get a full dose of Selena. She's such an absolute sweetheart, and you never know what guests she'll have. It could be Prince Poppycock, Tammy Brown, just a veritable cornucopia of talent.
Really? She brings out Prince Poppycock or Tammy Brown?
Yeah, they went to Italy together, her and Selena and Prince Poppycock. I saw the video online.
And she brings all the boys to the yard.
She's got some milkshake.
Oh, they're so sweet. Her and, you know, Jackie and, Nadia Ginsburg, they're just like...
Well, I've been wanting all of you guys to go on a play date together for years, so I'm so glad that it's finally coming true.
Well, this is L.A., you know, we have our individual careers. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, we all perform, you know, this is what we do for a living, so it's tough to say, no, I'm just going to go play hooky and, you know, fiddle fuck for the night.
I've been wanting to have a project that you guys do well together.
Fiddle fucking would be a good one.
Did you mean a project? Is that what you meant to say?
The Canadian pronunciation of project.
Well, listen, the Olympic Games are on. Could we please have Queen's English?
That's true. It's like London times.
It is, yes, that's right. It's called London Times English. It's a great font as well.
Devin, you've been getting into slash.
I hear that you're about to get arrested.
You're so sexy, you're getting arrested.
Yeah.
Sorry, nothing.
For stealing people's hearts.
Devin, you've been writing slash fiction lately?
Well, here's the thing. Gentlemen, I had read something that it was just erotic fan fiction. You know, like 50 Shades of Grey is erotic fan fiction. It was based on the characters from Twilight. So taking that idea and bastardizing it, there's places like websites like Topless Robot where they have a Guy Fieri
fiction,
which is just terrific.
He does it in Cheese Grits, doesn't he?
Thomas the Train or Smurf.
Who's having sex with Guy Fieri?
Well, this is erotic fan fiction. I think he bludgeons pretty much every single person on his staff and set.
I would imagine that while he's having sex, he's also eating like a greasy bacon double cheeseburger.
Cheese grits.
Or a bowl of cheese grits. And then the food's getting all over his beard, and he's like screaming homophobic slurs while he's fucking somebody. Anally.
I've read some of that erotic fiction from nifty.org, and you know, some of it's the celebrity stuff is, I don't know, it's not always as good as necessary as the superhero comics ones. Those are always hot when they pull out, like, the Superman's pink kryptonite.
If I could just preface this, this is 5 minutes. I hope you may indulge me.
I will sit back and relax.
I want you to sit back and relax. But before we start, please know that I'm a huge fan of all these people that I mention. I do not know them personally. What I am about to say is fucking deplorable and wretched from beginning to end.
Yay!
The why we like Devin. I like that you're doing a disclaimer for a sexual story, and your disclaimer is that you don't know them personally. Not that it's true or not, but that you just don't know them.
Gentlemen, are you ready?
I'm ready. Baby.
I've got my lube out.
This I've entitled, Johnny, Are You Weir? The Grand Prix Finals aired on Comcast October 26th. 2008, 6:00 p.m. Johnny paced back and forth, waiting for his placing in the U.S. Men's Figure Skating Grand Prix Finals. Second again, he screeched with an inauthentic Russian accent. He delicately raised his skate blade and kicked the Christ out of the television set backstage, slicing announcer Dick Button's enormous liver-spotted forehead in two. The Everett Ice Palette had never seen such a raging surge of testosterone since Victor Petrenko's bump-and-grind routine to Barry Manilow's Copacabana. Evan Lysacek slid his mitten-encased fingers over Johnny's dejected but still Michelangelo-esque buttocks to console him. Babe, I placed third. You taught me again, Evan cooed as his dulcimer prick strained against chartreuse lycra, begging for the Zamboni treatment. Johnny tore away. Another of Evan's excuses to always bottom. He stopped in front of a loose disco ball to realize his swan outfit looked more like a goose, and he was ready to smear someone's chin with warm pate. Gobble. Johnny grabbed his silver medal, which was a perfect circle, just big enough to insert his fat hog. He went to the bathroom and ejaculated ropes of gentleman's relish onto the urinal puck. Yes, I fuck me! His silver medal now fit loosely on the next rung of his axle rod ram jammer, like nesting dolls made by the hands of 1,000 prepubescent Siberian man whores. Johnny! A wee voice rang out. So what of it? Johnny turned around in slow motion. There was a flower girl with an armful of roses. She had the body of a 14-year-old boy. I'm 17. You're 24. Both numbers divisible by 2, she slutted away. Take off some of those petals and put them in your mouth before I fuck your face to shreds. Johnny was ready to ravage his spoils for having just come. Come in second. Call me Nadia. Whatever, Justin. Now swallow my man babies as they freestyle past your tiny tonsils. Johnny slipped out of his feathered unitard, pried open her facial labial folds, and sow-cowed to the back of her throat, pushing the roses down her little love spiral. With each bludgeon, his second-place medal clanged on her front two teeth, her fault for having braces. But he wanted this to be a first-place skater's fuck. He took her I Love Johnny misspelled polished nails and placed them on his glistening jizz bags. Gently scratch my sack just like you do yours. Her protests of, but I'm a girl, were drowned out by his explosive moment of inertia, converting his prefunctory linear poundings into decorative figure eights of Johnny spunk and Nadia's eager face slash. I'm number one in your mouth, he staccatoed. She hearted his appalling abuse of her orifice, then swallowed his second-place seminal vesicle offerings. It did taste like a first-place finish. Nadia dry-heaved quietly in the bathroom sink, forcing herself to swallow back his flamboyant DNA. Johnny took a good look at himself in the mirror. What do I need, Johnny Vaunt? I need want a MAC cosmetic contract, to wear more fur, to have the body of a whippet, to announce and shit, and to taste a judge's perfect six. From behind the end stall's glory hole came the voice of announcer and judge Dick Button, the patriarch of figure skating. Johnny's heart did a flip. dick. You got that right. Wanton wrinkled lips replied from the hole. An orange tongue slid lasciviously over yellow teeth. How badly do you want to come first? I can make it happen. I can give you, I can give your career, everything. My little Johnny Weir morsel. Whoa! Go on. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let's go from skating to scatting. For the love of God, please shit spin some Dairy Queen in my mouth. All the lights in the bathroom went dim except for one bulb reflecting off of Johnny's shiny eyebrows and forehead. If I let anyone taint me, it's going to be me. I've worked too damn hard, too many early mornings, to not win by talent alone. Dick responded by gamely adjusting course and shoving a ruddy penis through the hole. It drooped in desolate expectation. Johnny ignored this. From behind the stall, Dick brayed, "You suck tonight on ice. Now, suck tonight on this." Johnny continued to ignore the now weeping penis. "Last chance, Johnny, come lately." Silence. "You just fell and cleaned the ice. You will never get up." "I'm not Brian Boitanos, not Johnny." The penis slid back into the hole like a hairy gopher retreating from an unexpectedly cruel world. The bathroom door opened, and Johnny then closed on Johnny's first place hopes and dreams, which were wishes that would simply never come true. Wait, I changed my mind. I want... "He's my grandfather. I'll change his mind," Nadia said slyly, coming up for air. Johnny parted Nadia's short hair to one side and used a bead of readily available pre-cum to affix it to her head. He pulled up her top to flatten her chest. "Johnny wants a Slavic dance." Oh, she was imitating. She knew. And Johnny knew her roast gash was ready for more flair. He braced her over the sink, and with each word he landed deep inside her cervix. "Your mangina, your kumquat, your shit pussy, your pussy all want me. I, Johnny. Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes. You're my boots and blades. You're my God. And 5, 6, 7, 8. Johnny's words trailed as he pursed his lips, batted his lashes, and sucked in his cheeks. Even in this unforgiving light, he knew he'd be the only person he ever really loved. "And I want to get on the gravy train from out of a tertiary cubicle stall and reeking of Dick Button's gronk." Third place finisher Evan appeared. He had his own theme song, Ice Capade's finale in D major. "Sorry I'm late. I was giving Dick a Dorothy Hamill." Evan pulled Johnny out of Nadia's teen spirit. It smelled vaguely Canadian, to put the second place medal on his aroused thumb. "Keep this rhythm, Johnny. I'm going to rear you from behind. Your safe word is stroke." For once, Johnny did as he was told. "Oh, that feels so good right up in your wink. I love to finger skate the hell out of your rabid little spread eagle." Evan tapped Johnny so hard, he, in turn, almost tore Nadia in two. Her anus prolapsed onto the gritty green tiles below. Johnny fisted Nadia's hair to make her look in the mirror, but Johnny could only see himself sandwiched between two fans of his artistic integrity. Evan was ready to spray his beef wax onto Johnny's back, and Nadia was on thin ice. Johnny thought the hole he was pounding could never get pregnant, so he didn't have to wear a condom. Heard a crescendoed chorus of, "Johnny, Johnny, Johnny, I love you." All three yelled his name in excelsis. Nadia extricated herself and made half-hearted attempts to stuff her colon back in her body. She turned on the hand blower and held her vagine up to it so as to harden Johnny's filigree inside of her, a perfect cast of her deep lady caverns, now forever enshrined in Johnny seed. She picked up one red rose and her colon and left to find her grandfather and first-place finisher Takahiko Kazuka. 6:15 p.m., Evan eased his thumb out of Johnny's gaping rotunda. Johnny took out a tube of lipstick. Evan cupped Johnny's hands, and they reapplied it together. 2 + 3 = 1. Stroke. That, ladies and gentlemen, is erotic.
Wow. Hold on, I need a cigarette or something.
Ooh, I'm a little erect, I have to say. little bit excited thinking about fucking Johnny Weir
with a fake Russian accent.
Top of it all, he's really honestly one of the absolute best in the field. He's got such a great personality. It's almost blasphemous to do this to him.
I'm sure he'd love it.
I'm sure he's a big fan of yours, A, and two, that he probably has gone through things like this already.
What,
I'm sure he's been
life?
In many a bathroom situation,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, but he just seems like a sweet angel.
Oh, well,
a sweet angel with a tongue of a devil.
Well, now, I
love that you actually always manage to work I'd fuck me into any sexual story.
I always put that in.
I can't believe how many euphemisms you have for sperm. I think my favorite one was the beef wax. That's new to me. I've not heard that one
before. Beef wax?
Yeah, I've not heard that one before. I'm just like, wowza.
I like Dairy Queen in my mouth.
And the filigree?
And skating to scatting. That's a lovely play on words. So tell me about your writing process to create this. Did you pull out an encyclopedia of sexual euphemisms, or is this all in your head?
No, it's just how I, honestly, it's just a visual image of how I see it.
And Joel's like, leave
now,
me.
I know Johnny Weir. Who's the Nadia? I don't recognize Nadia. Is she a famous skater? Or is she just made
up? No, I was just thinking she looked like Nadia Comaneci when she was 14 years old.
So did your husband go, what are you, I'm not sure what you have in mind, Devin.
I don't bring
that. Hey, we tried that in Las Vegas.
No.
Well, now we're going to turn the tables on you.
Oh, I would love to I would love to be turned on.
We're going
to
69 these erotic stories, but we're going to make you do all the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
In what respect?
Well, because you're so good at you're basically a wonky encyclopedia of sexual euphemisms.
Thank you.
And so we decided that your strengths lie in filling in the blanks in a Mad Libs sexual story.
Indeed. Yes.
And so this is unrehearsed, people. We have never done this before.
Correct.
Devin hasn't seen this.
I don't know what we're doing.
I've never actually, I've only played Mad Libs by picking up one of the books and thumbing through it. You know,
Faust is going to ask you some of the things. You're going to say the word. I'm going to write them down, and then I'll read the story.
Okay, so you got your pen there?
I got my pen. I'm ready.
Okay, so let's start with a verb ending in ing.
Fisting.
An adjective.
Used.
And another one?
No, that's it. Oh,
you're
asking
for
Sorry.
Two.
You're right.
Okay, an adjective. Holy.
Okay, a type of clothing or apparel.
Oh, a poppycock.
What's a poppycock?
It's like a G-string,
okay.
But for birds.
Okay, so a G-string poppycock. And then another adjective.
Well, I just watched gymnastics, so I'm going to say flexible.
Okay, choose current crush, boyfriend, husband.
A current, wow.
So this is like a multiple choice, Mark? Is that what it is?
We're going to go uncle.
Okay, uncle. Adjective.
Touchy, feely.
A present tense verb ending in S.
A verb?
Yeah, present tense.
Present tense. So that's like an action word.
Like walks or runs or jogs.
Kills.
Spoonings.
Spoonings.
Spoons.
Spoons. Okay, plural noun.
Ram jamma cock.
That's that's not a plural noun. A ram.
I got it.
You got it. Okay. Type of relative, like your cousin, uncle.
Oh, grandma's tongue.
Grandma's tongue. Your favorite food.
In my mouth. Oh, sorry. That probably.
We need another answer, something in your fridge.
Tuna.
Tuna. Plural noun.
Piles.
Piles. An imaginary or real animal?
Man-child.
Man-child. Your favorite musical band?
Pixies?
Pixies? One of the Muppets.
Beaker.
I'm sure any sexual story with Beaker is funny. Present tense physical action verb.
Present tense physical entrapment.
Entrapment. Male body part.
Glistening jizz bags.
Female body part.
Brown spot.
Present tense verb.
Whisperer.
A noun?
Nipola.
And play. What, is the word play like meaning like let's get started, or is that just leftover in the instructions?
That's leftover instructions. All right, here okay. It goes, Devin. This is Erotica custom tailored for your sexual desires.
Oh no, okay.
And everybody's going to know all your business now, because this is really what you do.
And milk the story so we can really let the unusual words sink in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Devin, you just love fisting. It makes you feel used. When you go out at night, you typically wear holy poppycock to make you feel sexy. You think most guys are flexible, with the exception of your uncle, who you think is simply touchy. You sweat it when he spoons with you in the morning. Interestingly, you sometimes get turned on by Ramagamma Cockblock. I don't know what that was. The funniest hookup you've ever had was with your grandma's tongue. She walked in on you having sex and you got scared. You screamed, "In my mouth, tuna," and fell over into a pile of piles. In your unusual fantasy, you're riding a man-child and then make sweet love to the lead singer of the Pixies.
No.
You love costumes and often enjoy dressing up like, what? Beaker. Your go-to move in bed is to entrap a guy's glistening jizz bags with your brown spot.
Whoa.
Every guy loves your ability to whisper and your incredible nipple. The fact is, everyone just adores you.
Oh, wow. This brings a tear to my throat.
How accurate is that to your sex life?
I think Devin has dressed up like Beaker and had sex with somebody with it. Right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I know that kind of girl. I may do with Betty Bowers. listen, if unless your penis at the very tip has, unless the words 9 inches, I'm not interested. I'm just saying.
I've been like touching myself a little extra because of the Olympics on TV.
Pretty hot.
You know, and I have to say, before we talk about all the eroticism of the Olympics, Matthew Mitchum is trying to steal your thunder with a ukulele.
He's got a song on his pants and a song in his heart.
Yeah, it's like if you go on YouTube and just search Matthew Mitchum and Family Guy or Single Ladies, you can see the Australian gold-winning openly gay Olympic diver with his ukulele singing a song.
Shirtless.
Look how happy he is.
You know who's really happy is his boyfriend.
Yeah, no shit. He gets serenaded and plucked.
And they're like a size difference, you know? Like his boyfriend's probably like 6'1" or 6'2", and Matthew Mitchum's like 5'5". So on his back, like there's a photo of him hugging him from behind, and he looks like a little koala bear, you know, from Australia.
You know what someone offered? They said it would be really nice. You know, these are the kind of emails that I get, that this person, a fan, was like over 7 feet tall and he just wished he could chop my legs off so he could spin me around on his dick.
You don't need to cut off your legs. What you do is you just get one of those baskets that hang from the ceiling and then you just like, you know, sit and spin.
Well, thank you.
Keep your legs, Devin.
Yeah.
They go all the way to the floor.
They're useful in walking.
Don't look back when you walk. Look forward when you're walking.
So did you see the picture of the two guys right after water polo? Yeah. And we're not sure what happened, but he reaches into his thong and he's adjusting his penis and going, oh, while his teammate looks upon him like, are you masturbating? And the press managed to capture that, and it's been running all over the internet. You can go to our site, feastoffun.com, today, and you can see the picture of this hot guy reaching into his swimsuit and rubbing one out.
I believe a second place finisher had an erection, whilst on the podium.
You know, there's one other guy. He was from the Henrik Rummel. He was a U.S. rower, and he said that he's like, he actually posted onto Reddit, you know, which is a what do you call it? A sharing site for news and
social bookmarking.
He goes, "This is me, and I swear it's not erect. I don't know why it ended up in that position, but there you go. It looks like it's sizable, and I'm like, you know, it's
maybe erect.
Do you think it's a... But he's wearing that spandex, and sometimes with that spandex, what else are you going to do? It just kind of flops around wherever it wants to go.
We had some photos taken with on spandex unitards mm-hmm. in Austin, Texas, and Mark was not... You were not hard.
I was not hard, no.
And it looks like you're hard, because the way... When your dick is up and stretch out in spandex, and if you're not shrunken, you know... Mm-hmm. If you're just relaxed or semi, we call this a Hollywood loaf. It's not a full-on erection. It's just big enough to look good for the cameras.
Well, plus if you're in the shower, in the locker, at the gym, right. And you're like, oh my God, people are going to see my penis. I got to tug on a little bit so they don't think it's like small.
Right. When my penis is like that, I call it off-camera casual.
Well, so he had posted a photo of himself with his girlfriend. To deny it as if somehow his girlfriend is going to vouch for him. And all I can say is that she looks very happy.
She does. She's smiling. She's like, I get to have that cock.
Gold medal winning cock.
Well, you see, that's why I felt it was prudent to read the Johnny Weir.
Oh, yeah.
Piece.
Isn't that what the Olympics is all about? It's just kind of like sexually fantasizing about these incredible individuals.
I think, though, that now that we have like Facebook and other social sharing sites, is that the Olympians have become more and more sexualized over time. That because people are like sharing these things more, they're commenting about them more. Because before you'd have to pick up like, you know, a Sports Illustrated to masturbate. Now you can just open up Facebook and break out the lube.
Well, I also think, too, on a financial basis, you know, a lot of these countries, the big payoff was if you won, your parents would be allowed to move into an apartment. But now with such big commercial deals, you need to have sort of a complete package other than, you know, maybe like Michael Phelps, even though he doesn't have the most boisterous personality, he'll be fine the rest of his natural life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, he has a smoking hot girlfriend.
He's got a great body.
Yeah.
And he's got how many Olympic golds?
He can melt those, sell them.
Some of those boys, yeah. I didn't even realize, like Usain Bolt, 6'5".
Oh, yeah. They're all leg. The swimmers are all leg, and then the gymnasts are tiny little things. And there's pictures of them, like, next to each other. And if you're, you know, if you're, like, a mixed dimension couple, you know, you could basically get the shorter one to give you perpetual. Well, in terms of size and height and weight and everything, it's like, there are couples that's what turns them on with each other. It's like, the one's really big and the other one's really little.
Mm-hmm. You mean like Jack Spratt?
Kind of, yeah. Jack Spratt and his fat wife, only in this case, it's like tallness, I guess. Mm-hmm. But,
well,
and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people have, you know, a disparity with, like, some people are turned off by a short waist or a long leg or a stubby neck or a husky brogue. You know, sometimes...
Brogue's an accent, no?
I don't know. You know, sometimes when you look at the whole package, you go, I don't know if that turns me on.
Yeah.
Well, we all like what we like.
Well, if you look at like the photography for beach volleyball, for example, most of it's focused on women's butts, their crotches. Like
their boobs, because their boobs are taped down.
It's their midsection. Mm-hmm. And so one photographer decided, Metro.us, and we'll post a link to this, is to photograph all the Olympic sports, because he was covering it as if it was covering women's volleyball. And so it's basically a lot of hot men's butts and crotches.
Oh, wow.
And so you're getting a chance to see all the Olympians up close and personal, and their fine, fine gold star winning booties.
You know, a lot of the female Olympians are staying off Twitter. They're not looking at things because there's so many comments negatively about their bodies. I mean, these are professional athletes, and people are like, she's fat, or they're fat. That team's good, but man, they could lose some weight. And it's just kind of like, you know, they're winning gold medals.
Yeah, if you're basically doing something with your body on the internet, even if you're like a bodybuilder or a fitness enthusiast or anything, it's like half of the comments on YouTube are going to be like, you're on steroids, you're gross, you're disgusting. Like, I posted a picture of a male stripper wearing a wig and putting on a little lipstick. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote, muscle is the new drag. on Facebook and had all these people going, I wouldn't sleep with him unless he took that wig off. And I'm like,
oh, well, that's a gender fuck.
Who was the gentleman in your kitchen, that photo that you had posted?
Wasn't he gorgeous? He came into me in a dream.
Oh.
That is not our kitchen.
But I like that.
What would you, cook him? I'd cook him anything.
Shit. What do you want to eat? Eggs and turkey bacon. Well, the thing about it is like, it's good to find photos on Facebook and just post them on your Facebook wall and pretend it actually happened to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. I kind of do that every day.
That's a good way to go.
Did you see the men's shower cams on NBC?
So they've been.
I don't know. They started this a couple of years ago, and they're showing the Olympic swimmers and divers showering before and after, kind of as a way of teases or something. And so some gay man on NBC decided to put all the graphics right where their midsection would be, so it looks like they're naked on broadcast television.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You know what I'm not crazy about? Having everybody mic'd, like the coach, the parents, having reaction from everyone, because now everyone is self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now they know that they're being filmed, they're being recorded. I think for some reason in my mind that will always temper sort of the truism of that moment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just knowing, you know, especially for civilians, like, you know, if someone's parents who have nothing to do with being famous or in the public eye, you know, they would react differently.
They might say something like inappropriately and it gets caught on camera.
Yeah, just maybe out of themselves. They may not... They may think, what am I supposed to say, as opposed to just be yourself?
And enjoy the moment where you watch your kid perform and do something. And,
right,
you know, for a lot of the listeners, maybe they don't know that, Devin, you in fact were a competition ice skater.
A professional figure skater. Yes. That's where I grew up, and everything that I do is pretty much based off the principles of that. There is a moment of, this is why I picked Johnny Weir, because all of those terms, through all the muck and mire that I spit out, it's usually based structurally on the arc of a character, arc of a spin, arc of a jump, arc of a program. There's a moment of inertia where a spin converts, and then there's a moment of inertia where the audience gets what you're actually doing. I haven't received that moment, but most people go, what is she saying? Why does she say so much words? I understand that.
So your verbose vocabulary comes from being a figure skater?
It's like a flourish of a figure skating.
Yeah. No, the structure of it comes from figure skating. The other stuff is just from having a blank slate. I really didn't have... role models or inspiration growing up, you know. It's like the Bronte sisters, you know. Just being in isolation, you just have probably more absurd thoughts because there's no regulation or sort of no parameters.
There's nobody stomping you down.
This is what other people are doing.
Mm. One of the most common questions I get asked about you is, are you like that all the time and in person? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But interesting enough, I don't think I've ever seen you drink a cup of coffee.
Oh, I drink coffee. Don't
you? Do you?
I'm sure we did at Denny's.
I pretty rarely drink alcohol, though, except for with you. I think the last time I actually drank, I was with you.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
I feel so honored.
I really don't need
alcohol. I don't think I've ever seen you hungover or low energy, Devin. It's always
I wake up and
it's like, da 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 da, it's ready to start the day.
I have things to do, and I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got, oh, guess what?
What?
I'm going to be performing in Las Vegas at the Onyx Theater during Pride this September 6th, 7th, 8th. The tickets are only like $10. It's going to be a super fun show. So if you're happy to be in Vegas for Pride or for any reason, take a moment away from the sluts and come on over and hang out with me.
They could have had anybody, but they got Devin Green. She's hot, she's sexy, she's very, very funny, and she's what Las Vegas is all about.
She's the newest thing on the strip, kids.
Are you going to have, like, a Peruvian immigrants take cards and go, hey, go see Devin Green's show. Go see Devin Green's show, please.
Have you seen those guys on the streets?
And they're smacking these little cards
yes,
at you?
I have. I have a fistful of porn from them. You know, I'll probably sing a song.
Are we getting a song now?
Something like this. There's a pet I'd like to pet, and every evening we get set. I stroke it every chance I get. It's my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. Meow! Bring it to bits that it loves. We spoon like two turtle doves. I take care to remove my gloves when stroking my girl's pussy. That song was from 1931. I'm going to bring back all these old classics.
You're like an ethnomusicologist of sluts.
I think there might be a double entendre in that song somewhere.
You think? Oh, gosh, I'm just too shallow. I haven't investigated it.
I got a great little vintage song for you, but the listeners can't steal this. This is just for Devin.
Okay.
It's How You Gonna Bring the Boys Back to the Farm After They've Been to Gay Paris.
Everybody knows that song.
No one knows that song.
Everybody knows that
Have
song.
Have you heard of that song? Where? What film? What? How would they know it?
Huh?
How would they even know that
song? It's like a famous song from the 20s.
Yes, and everybody knows
and
famous songs from the 20s.
Why would it be on their radar?
Mark's like, everyone knows that song. It's from
It's like Cole
Babies.
Porter.
It's not a Cole Porter song.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's some person who nobody knows about, and we found it in a library.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
You
know it from me.
Are you kidding? What? I've seen it in movies. It's been in all sorts of World War.
You're gonna keep the boys down on the farm after they've been to Gay Paris. Yeah, but Mark can't mention or say where he's actually.
Listen, I have Wikipedia right at my fingertips.
Oh, he knows how to use robots.
Read some of those Twitters.
Okay, so there's a Bicurious Rover is the new internet celebrity besides, of course, the gorgeous Babak Ferdowsi, NASA's Mohawk beauty.
Mohawk.
I want to stroke him so hard. I want to I'm so bicurious on him.
You know why? You know why he's so probably engaging? It's because he has no sort of self-awareness on how... You know, on how good-looking or how famous he's actually becoming on the internet.
Yeah, I think you know, the moral of the story is, I think it's important, you know, I'm friends with a lot of scientists and mathematicians, and yes, it's very important to get into this work and put a lot of attention on it. At the same time, you need to put a little time and energy into making these things relatable to the general public because they're the ones funding the work. And so I think one of the shortcomings of, you know, and there have been parody sites saying like the particle accelerator people, the Hadron Collider, they're getting jealous of all the media attention the Bicurious Rover is getting, you know, is that we need to take time and energy to relate things and the excitement and the passion of science and exploration to people.
I agree 100%. I actually was very fortunate. I have a friend that works at JPL, so I got to see the Mars lander before it went to Florida and took off.
Yeah, because it's in L.A., right?
It was in L.A., yeah.
That is so awesome, and I'm so jealous you got to see that.
It was awesome because my dream was just to always go to the moon.
And so in a sense, something you saw is now very far away.
But one of the stupidest comments I've ever read was there was a picture of the moon and someone wrote, "What, you know, it's 2012, when are they going to have a color photo of it?"
It's gray.
It's gray, motherfucker.
That's the thing, is like the moon is just this, you know, kind of depressing gray. That's why Mars is so interesting, because it's red. It's
warm. I don't see
warm.
It like that. I see the moon as rife with possibilities.
And what possibility would that be?
Well, you know, to start my own clan of Johnny Weirdos.
You're going to populate the moon with...
I will populate the moon.
You and Johnny Weirdos.
At a time.
I'd like to see you dress up as the alien queen for Halloween one day.
Each and every day, I'm an alien queen, my dear.
Okay, so by Curiosity Rover on Twitter, you can follow him. He says, rumors are that I banged the trash out of that Wally at Matt McConaughey's Cinco de Mayo party, while fabulous are not true. And then there's another one here. And see. Wow, thanks, NASA. I asked for a turkey sandwich. If I wanted cottage cheese, I would have called Jessica Simpson's thighs.
Cold morning.
See, I don't like that mean-spirited stuff.
Yeah, I'm like,
because anybody can be just rude and ignorant. You need to have a twist of... Mm-hmm.
What's supposed to be a catty gay robot on Mars?
Yeah, he's supposed to be catty and gay. And what's the Anderson Cooper one? Where did that go?
I don't know.
Mars is as cold as Anderson Cooper after a one-night stand.
He would give you the frost. He would give you the hair frost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wasn't clear when I asked for a premium cable package. How do you expect me to survive on Mars without oxygen?
He yells at the guys from NASA for lying to him that there's no pinkberry. There's no pinkberry on Mars. I lied.
It's a cold morning on Mars. I was going to start a fire to warm things up, but I only woke up with a little wood.
Alleged.
What?
I have to say alleged before this.
Alleged what?
Alleged. The secret to the deliciousness of pinkberry is that they use powdered squirt.
Powdered squirt? What do you mean?
Like sperm?
Remember the drink squirt?
Yeah, it's still around.
Sort of lemony limey?
Sure.
They use powdered to make that tangy taste of pinkberry.
Hmm. Oh, there you go. I thought it was just the yogurt.
It's alleged.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if somebody knows the answer, I would like to know a better question, please.
Hmm.
Okay, let's talk about penis snakes versus penis fishes.
Well, where are these penis snakes?
Well, what do you think is more dangerous to you, a penis snake or a penis fish?
I think a vagina penis or a vagina snake trumps both, because they don't let go.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing was with the penis snake, they call it a penis snake, but it's actually not a snake. It's an amphibian. It's a limbless amphibian, and it looks like a penis. It hangs out in the Amazon, and I'd say it's relatively, benign. It's not going to fuck you up.
But the one that's the most feared fish is not the piranha by people who live in the Amazon. It's the candiru, and it's a type of catfish. It's small, eel-like, and so translucent that it can be nearly impossible to see in the water, which makes it more terrifying. Some claim this fish is the most feared in the Amazon region, and it stems from a fact that one man was peeing into the water, and the fish swam upstream out of the water and into his urethra and inside his body, where it fed on his blood and got so swollen that the doctors had to surgically open his bladder and remove the fish.
Mm.
I wonder if they have any druthers, like if they prefer an O-ring, or, it's interesting because there's such a, I don't know about you, but when, you can have quite a, you're not a weak-streamed man. Regardless, for a fish to get up into your squirt box, that takes a lot of gumption.
My guess is that he probably peed inside the water, and that he stretched his story to make it sound like he wasn't.
Yeah, and the penis, once it finished peeing, it breathed in water.
Oh, it does. There you go.
And I think there was some guy in China, I think we reported on pretty recently, who actually stuck some kind of, or his friend stuck an eel up his penis, and it got in his butt and had to take that out. And then I know there was a boy in Africa, too. He said something went up his penis.
I'm going to call bullshit on half of this. I'm going to call, although the penis snake, I'm going to say yes, because who doesn't like a manaconda?
The penis is a shape that is very useful in nature, and it keeps coming back and back and back.
Right. It doesn't even have one eye, and it only eats squirrel friends.
There was a study that was just recently done on why the human penis is shaped the way it is. And we've always said this on the show, is because it's like a plunger, and that its whole function is to rake out. The fact that the head of the penis is a little bit bigger than the shaft is because it's there, and during the act of sex is to rake out sperm that's already been left in the woman's vagina.
Mm.
And that like, for example, cats are similar to this, is that the tip of a male cat's penis has little barbs to rake out the
well, it also induces it also induces ovulation in the cats.
Right. I think
they're
it
a little
also
different.
Pain. Yeah, it creates a space and it also latches in, because you have to there's also the predators also around, and it's always vying for the female. So, you know, they want a kind of penis that will stay in for the correct amount of time.
But the reason that the penis goes soft upon ejaculation is because the act of fucking removes sperm. And so if you continue fucking after ejaculating, you're actually removing your own sperm from that vagina.
Not during phone sex.
And so when you ejaculate, I guess you want to do it like way up in there too.
Yeah. So women, actually, like the human body, the male penis is one of the few penises in nature that ejaculates as far as it does.
Like above
in distance.
Your head?
It's usually like several
feet. It can go a few feet, depending on like how fully loaded you are.
I believe I had a quote. I said ropes of gentleman's relish.
That was the other one, gentleman's relish.
Disgusting.
Oh, condiments.
Disgusting. I'm very thankful that you allowed me this moment. I don't usually do so many voices or read aloud like this.
You should do that at like a coffee shop, like do a little reading of that.
That's exactly what I should do.
And you know, it would be nice if to give like a coctionary guide, like a list of all the terms that you use in it and their definitions.
Do it wearing tassels and do a burlesque act.
The only act I will be doing is, listen, I have a ton. If you're in Los Angeles, I'm playing at the ACK Bar, at the Flapper's Lounge, at Salvage downtown, in Claremont at the Hip Kitty. But it would be really great if you came out to Las Vegas, September 6th, 7th, and 8th.
I'm buying my tickets right now.
It'll be really fun. It'll be super fun. Obviously, everything. I'll talk less and play more.
You're a playful girl. And people actually can go up to you and give you tip jars and make suggestions.
You can request, listen, I play any song from the 1700s to today. I take your request, I ignore it, and then I continue playing whatever I wish. That's how I play.
You and Matthew Mitchum need to go on tour together.
No, I actually do play songs from the 1700s. I cut a huge swath. So even if you suggest a song, I may not have that one, but I may have something. It's like Amazon. If you bought this, you probably will like this as well. That's how I am.
I started an internet campaign to get Matthew Mitchum on the box of Fruity Cheerios, and no one's bought it so far.
No.
So I'm really rooting for Matthew Mitchum to be on the cover of Fruity Cheerios.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry to be a turd in the bowl that doesn't go down. I'm sorry to be a turd in the water part of the toilet that you can keep flushing. It's like, what's that smell? Well, it's a turd in the water portion of the toilet.
Playing the ukulele so much fun. Everybody wants to like pick up the instrument.
Well, you know, it's two delicious octaves, but you know, I play it because I'm truly happy doing it, and I really love when people come up and sing with me or go, oh gosh, was that an Eminem song that you lounged out, or AC/DC or Nirvana, or didn't you put those two songs together? It's just fun when people make that realization of what I've actually done to a song they may not have liked originally, and now it's like, yes, now it's palatable.
I'd love to see I'd love to see you with like a xylophonist and a string orchestra doing sort of like Martin Denny covers of pop songs.
Well, I think Richard Cheese does it. He does it very jazzy style.
Oh, isn't that good?
Mm.
Yeah. I heard he's a bit of a diva, though.
Is he a bit of a Dick Cheese?
So what's the secret to a happy life? A new study says... Yeah. It's close relationships with family and friends.
When you're a small child.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, so friends.
If you're happy as a child, you'll be happy as an adult. If you've got a miserable experience as a child, you're probably going to be a miserable adult.
Is that
so
always
there's no
true?
Hope.
Well,
I don't know.
How many mistakes have you made as a, you know, what you're were you not set as, like, between 6 and 8 years mm-hmm. old? Was your temperament not set? How many mistakes have you repeated over and over?
The same ones.
The same shit.
Well,
you know, has your personality really changed? If we saw videotape of you as a kid, you would be still a smart, thoughtful, with a smile on his face kid. You're the exact same kid.
And they say that, like, so your family environment and the relationships you have as a child is a better precursor to your happiness than is your academic achievement. So you can be very smart and do very well in school, but that's not necessarily going to make you very happy. But
it'll never be fulfilling. That's why there's so many desperate actors out here. They think that if they get a role or a commercial, that it will fulfill them. And it simply cannot.
The hole just gets bigger, right?
Yeah, because you're basing your happiness on external things. You know, it's great temporarily, but the second that it's gone, it's that void, and it's a little bit deeper now. And if there's a long period of time that you have to wait, for me, I've just never been like that. I've never waited for. I have always created my own beeswax.
One phenomenon that I've observed in sort of like having friends that have become more famous through the years or yeah. suddenly had the world bestow upon them a lot of attention is that the instinct for the people that you're close to with you is to back off because there's so many people giving you so much attention that they're like, well, I don't want to invade them or inconvenience them. And so from the perspective of the person who's being bestowed upon all the success and fame, it becomes very isolating and feels very lonely.
That can absolutely happen. And two, people don't want to feel like they're riding your coattails. They want to have their own mm-hmm. identity, which I see, you know, a lot of the times are, you know, if jealousy crops up or if one's more famous than the other. But then again, there's other people who are, like, so secure with themselves that are just like, do your thing, look it out, you know, just go swing, baby.
But it is, like, the case that, you know, it's important for our friendships with entertainers to make sure that we are there for them when they feel lonely, when they are feeling isolated, when they're feeling disconnected from the world. It's like, no, just saying to somebody, I'm here for you whenever you're ready. You know?
Are you saying that to me right now?
I'm speaking to you and to all my, you know, to all my entertainment friends. It's like, you know, we're here for you 24 hours a day. And it's like, if you ever feel like you're lost or isolated or
just don't call me in the morning.
Call me in the morning. I may not answer the phone, but I'll call you back when I can.
I will get back to your emotional needs when it's convenient for me.
Send a fax.
Or text me. The thing about it is, it's like, you know, it's kind of like nobody ever prepares you for
right
the
for
kind
being,
of,
you know, yeah. putting you through the star-making machine. Well, I know with some of my A-list people, friends, they get a veneer over them because they hear the same compliments
over and over and over again.
Yeah, and sometimes they see it, you know, they turn, and it's like, don't be a douchebag. These people were kind enough to you to support you when you were coming up, and even if they didn't say it then, they were emotionally supporting you, watching your things. You know, going to your movies, listening to your albums, and now you're pretty ungrateful.
Giving you dollars while you were lip syncing in some godforsaken bar in the middle of nowhere.
yeah.
There you go.
And the thing about it is like, look, you know, all careers come, all good things come to an end. Everything, you know, cycles, goes up and down. Mm-hmm. It's like in entertainment. If you've been around in any kind of job, in any kind of career, you know you're going to have some times where it's raining men and other times there's not a cock around to suck.
What? Jesus.
How are you going to know the highs if you don't have
right
the lows?
There.
Yeah. It's like what was the late, great Steve Jobs said, mm-hmm. The only thing that separates the winners from the losers, the people who succeed from those who don't, is their perseverance. If you stick to it.
I agree with that 100%. I show up. I really have excellent attendance, but I never, ever, ever, for I've probably done easily about 4,500 live shows in my career, from comedy, music, and otherwise. and I never take any opportunity on stage lightly. I am so thankful, and I'm always working on something. You know what I mean? It's because I'm a very self-disciplined person. So when I do get on stage, it's not, hey, I'm going to call this shit in. You know what I mean? It's like, how can I temper this? I really want to just keep developing it and building it, and it's it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't feel that, why would I expect the audience to feel it?
And that's what happiness comes from. It's the investment and joy that we find in investing ourselves in the work, in our relationships with people, and looking at our audience as friends. And if we don't relate to our audience as friends, then we need to ask of our audiences how to become better friends of us.
Maybe if you need to ask that question, you're not a very good friend to start out with.
Well, I think some people, that's part of their shtick, though, is like how to be antagonistic towards their audience. Some people, like, that's the relationship what they have with their audiences.
Well, like Courtney Love, when in the height of her career, I saw her at Lollapalooza, and she entered the stage, and the way that she started a song is she pulled out a garden hose, and it wasn't like she was spraying them with joy. It was like she was pissing on the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, she later stuck the garden hose between her legs and started, like, peeing.
Did you like that? Did the fans like that?
The audience went crazy, and they adored it.
There's something kind of punk rock about that.
There's something about, like, you know, having this, like, adversarial relationship with your audience that turns people on, because, as Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart said, you know, some of them want to be abused.
Right, but at the same time, I think during that time, she wasn't a martyr. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, she's so messed up. She was expressing the anger that the audience felt. She was a mirror of what was of her contemporaries, people who actually followed her.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
What advice do you have to somebody who says, like, I love my career. I'm so happy where that's going right now, regardless if it's entertainment or whatever, but the people I work with, the audience that I have to deal with, I'm not too thrilled about.
The bottom line is, it doesn't matter if you're in modeling, acting, accounting, being a lawyer, being a chef, you're still going to have the same hierarchy of personality types that you have to deal with. There will always be a leader, there will always be a gossip, there will always be a douchebag, there will always be a power-hungry struggler, there will always be a weak one. You know what I mean? The infrastructure is always the same in any group dynamic.
Mm.
It just simply doesn't matter what profession you're in. It's if you can achieve an understanding and figure out how to deal with these different personality types without, you know, selling your soul or feel like you always have to bite your lip. For me, I just let it go. I just don't give them any power. You know what I mean? I don't need someone like that to validate me.
Because you're doing your thing.
I just do my thing, you know. So I deal with a huge amount of people on a daily basis, virtually and in real life. You know, it's a lot of people and a lot of energy each and every single day. And, you know, sometimes at the end, like especially doing big shows, sometimes I do have like an emotional dump at the end. It's, you know, overwhelming, and for myself, the only thing I have to be mindful of is not to sort of eat other people's pain. Because I'm much stronger. I can take their pain. I can take it away from them. You know what I mean? Because I can filter it and get it out as long as it relieves them.
Beautifully put. Devin, you're such a good friend to so many people, and we consider you a close friend. And
I am your close friend.
And sexy friend.
And filthy, elegantly filthy mouth.
Potty mouth.
I'm going to apologize to Johnny Weir, Dick Button, Evan Lysichuk. You know, that was...
And Nadia Ginsberg.
Nadia Comaneci.
And Nadia Comaneci. It was simply wretched what I did. And if you've made it this far into the telecast of Feast of Fun, then email me directly, devingreen@gmail.com, and I'll give you free tickets for the Las Vegas show. They're only $10. What? You can't afford $10 to come see me?
Devin, you give it away. You're the giving tree of entertainment.
and bring lots of dollars for those tips.
I do this on your show. I don't put it out there.
Ask Devin for her apples. She'll give you her apples.
You know, the people who follow Feast of Fun truly support me. You know what I mean? It's like, what else can I do to give back? You guys have been so kind to me, and I'm truly grateful.
We'll print up a coupon for them.
Yeah, you got a gift certificate for Devin Green here.
Please?
She'll give you her leaves, her branches. She'll even give you her stump.
Let's get back to Olympic telecast coverage.
Well, thank you, Devin, and best of luck in Vegas.
Thank you.
Don't gamble away too much of your hard-earned dollars.
Hey, I love you boys. Thank you so much. And maybe it's time you come up with a little bit of erotic fan fiction yourself.
Mm. Ooh. Well, now that we have the template.
Yes.
Please don't ever use me.
That's how I seduce Fausto sometimes. I tell him sexy stories and it gets him aroused. He's just like, really? You think I look like Superman?
This is what holds me back from doing that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. is that for me, there's a sense of privacy and intimacy in sharing these erotic stories with an audience. And I would feel very vulnerable if I shared.
Get over it. You send your dick pictures out to people.
Oh. It's different. So it's one thing, your surface and your body, and the other thing is like your thoughts.
Your psyche.
Your psyche.
But these are comedy things. Mm-hmm. These are all lighthearted, stupid head.
But I'm like, you know, people do want to hear like erotic fiction.
It's masturbation material. There's people out here listening to the show right now that are going to go back and masturbate thinking about what you just read. I want you to know that and understand that. Okay? All right?
I would like to hear from any masturbators.
I rubbed one out. It made me come.
Oh, my God. I love you, boys.
Love you, too, Devin.
Fun friends. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Devin Green lives in Los Angeles, California, or as she likes to say, Hollywood.
Hollywood. You can follow her on Twitter, Devin Green, and of course on Facebook, Devin Green. And if you do, and you send her a message, tell her Feast of Fun sent you, baby.
Write to her. Tell her you love her. Tell her I'll be in Vegas. Give me those free tickets. I can't be in Vegas, but I love you anyway.
And if you are in Vegas and you're going to go see Devin Green, wear your Feast of Fun t-shirt and have a photo with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then post it on the site, feastoffun.com. Share something fabulous. Did you know that Feast of Fun gets visited by thousands of people every day? And there is the secret for you to get the world to know about your awesome things that you have made. Unlike Reddit, we invite you to share awesome things that you made about yourself or to promote something, as long as it's awesome, as long as it's fabulous. Go to feastoffun.com and start sharing your things today.
And we also have t-shirts for sale at feastoffun.com/store. You can get Obama riding a unicorn, shooting rainbows out of his hands, barbarians do it better, and our Feast of Fun logo t-shirts.
Remember, Feast of Fun is made possible by the financial support of people like you. If you are not a premium plus subscriber, go to feastoffun.com/plus and upgrade your account to get Feast of Fun deliciousness in your RSS feed, in your iPod, iPhone, or portable MP3 player 5 days a week. How can you not be fabulous? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody. Bye.